Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Source Material. Tonight begins part two of our four-part discussion on an 80s staple. Ronnie Adams and Justin Thomas continue our look at a few select He-Man comics, and tonight's discussion brings us to two more mini-comics featuring Ram Man and Trapjaw. This is also a very special episode where we took to YouTube and visually shared the comic as we went through it. If you'd like to check it out, just go to YouTube and punch in hashtag source material, all one word, and you should easily be able to subscribe and watch. Also, the month of September, Source Material will be focusing on Alan Moore Month on Thursdays with Long Road to Ruin. So we've broken our full 2 hours episode up into four parts for easier consumption over the month, so please enjoy. Make sure to give that Rattlitch and Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. And do not forget, you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio to listen at your convenience. You can also catch Ronnie Adams as one of the hosts of the Screaming Boy podcast, along with Adam Runyon. Their episodes are also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. You can follow Ronnie at Screaming Boy PR on Twitter, and don't forget to check out their website, screamingboy.com. Justin Thomas, you can follow him at Spectre13, that's SPEKTR13, on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Steam, and find him on Facebook. You can catch Justin as one of the video game correspondents also on the Screaming Boy podcast. All right, let's grab your swords, let's mount your battle cat, let's scream to the heavens. Here we go again, folks. Well, let's go ahead. We'll get into the next story, which Ronnie's going to go ahead and present this one as well. He's going to, and then he gets to sit back and listen to me and Justin go on for a little while. Yeah. This is his next choice out of the book. He-Man meets Ram-Man. So this is, again, this is early in the line. Now this must be when they drop down the comics in the figures instead of actual books that were going out. So we have on the cover here, we have He-Man dodging some man who is just hitting his vehicle, his warp device. No, I don't think this is a warp device.
No,
this
that's
is
the battle track.
That's the battle track. Okay. And we have Skeletor in the back cheering on this guy. And this guy's got looks like, dare I say it, the Juggernaut.
Might I mention there's no likeness to the cartoon battle track.
Yeah, none at all.
Something, the quality definitely seems to take a scale back compared to what we saw on the cover. Compared to the cover of that book that we just looked at. But again, these things had to be mass produced to be put in toys. So yeah. The quality, I'm sure, of the paper and stuff like that and the inks, probably a different.
They took a hit.
Yeah, took a hit. But he had to get those figures out. I'm sure it's starting to catch on at this point in time.
Oh, yes.
So let's go ahead and we'll talk about Juggernaut versus He-Man. He-Man meets Ram-Man.
I chose this one because Ram-Man is one of the most ridiculous characters ever.
I
love him.
Let me just say that I got the Ram-Man figure at that auction like I was talking about
a
while back.
How disappointed were you?
I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, this is just one solid piece of plastic with a freaking spring in the inside, and that is it. Well, I shouldn't say solid because the legs went up into the body. So it's two pieces of plastic with a spring.
And the arms.
I don't even know if the arms move, dude. Yeah,
the arms
swivel.
Yeah, the swivel.
Wow. I mean, let's go ahead. I'm going to just bear with me here before we get into it there, Ronnie. We've got this new medium. Let's see see if we can find a Ram Man to share with everybody. Ram Man. There he is. This is the Ram Man that I got at the auction. And yes, you're right. I remember the arms do swivel. And I could tell you, the Ram Man I got, dude, he was beat to crap. I mean, it was bad. Very bad.
If you didn't take your Ram Man and just chuck him at the wall or at other figures, you would not use him right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there we go. There's Ram Man. He's imposing. Let me go ahead and we'll
There's like stickers around his wrist too. Those never stayed on.
Oh no, they didn't. But Ram Man is one of the most ridiculous, and I just absolutely love him because of it. The toy, all you did was you push him down, you push the little lever on his back of his heel, and he barely sprung up. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
But the commercial show him breaking the door down.
Yeah, man, they show him knocking over cups and everything. But so we've got Skeletor and Beast Man, you know, who is a little more detailed in this. He's just not solid red, so that's kind of good. They're presenting Ram Man, who is confused and doesn't know where he is. You know, or not, he knows where he is, but Heyman is just passing by, and Skeletor's kind of controlling Ram Man at this point.
Hold on just a second. Our pencil's down here.
Mark
Teixeira of Union fame, in my opinion, I remember him more significantly from the Image comic book Union. That's Mark, man. This has to be like really early work, I assume. So we're talking, it has copyright 1982.
Wow. I will say that's an awesome Rayman.
Yeah.
Look at him. Much cooler in this than he is.
Points of articulation instead of two. Yes.
It's his swiveling shoulders. He actually can move other parts of his body. Rayman confronts He-Man, says, get away here. You're not supposed to be here. He says, you're trying to trick me just like everybody else. I'll make you go away. He springs forward and rams into He-Man's battle track. But he's no match for He-Man, and he gets knocked out. So He-Man goes on his way, and he says, He-Man is a bad man, but I'll get back at him. I will. So Skeletor sees this as a chance to come out and present himself as the noble Skeletor, and that that He-Man is just a bully picking on people that are different, basically, calls him the terror of all Eternia. So he says, Ram Man, we need your help to tear down the gates of Castle Grayskull so we can get in there and stop He-Man from laughing at you. That's all he's doing. And Ram Man, being the jock that he is, says, I'll make him stop laughing at me. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, it's basically what it is. It's like they're making fun of your muscle guy, you know, your football players back in the day. Meathead. Mm-hmm. And which is, you know, not cool, but kind of funny all in one. Mm-hmm. But then we cut to the sorceress in her cobra armor at this point. That she's just chilling with the bunnies and the rabbits. I mean, the bunnies and the birds. And she goes, she senses a disturbance, and she's going to reveal the source of the disturbance. And she finds out that Skeletor and Ram Man are trying, he's using Ram Man as a battering ram, trying to get into the Castle Grayskull.
He is launched.
He is like, and Skeletor in the background is just having a ball with this.
He's got his arms up in the air.
He's just loving it. So she disappears. The deer in the background there is very confused at the fact that this woman has disappeared.
What the heck?
What the Link? What? Just, what?
What's a blank?
Yeah, no. Blank. So we cut back to He-Man, who is apparently traveling to a village that is being plagued by this four-armed beast, and he kills the monster.
Oof.
With his battle axe. I mean, that's all you can say because he cuts him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everybody's trying to say, thank you, you saved us. And he's like, oh, shucks, anytime. Sorcerer shows up, says that they're trying to breach the gates. We see the poor beast laying in the background with his legs and he's spread eagle on the ground. And they're like, He-Man says, clean up your mess, I'm out. And he leaves. Ram Man at this point is getting a headache. He's like, please, Skeletor, let me stop. I need the rest. He says, no, you fool. Keep going. So he takes control over him over with magic and just starts slamming his head into the gate.
Wham, wham, wham.
It's the greatest thing ever. So He-Man shows up, says, all right, knock it off. He and Beast Man go at it. And the whole time, I want you all to take note, in the early comic books and the early books like this, He-Man is never shown using the sword of power like he is in the cartoon.
He's just
showing his battle axe.
It's always the axe.
Mm-hmm. Because the sword of power is what they're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
See how long his hair is?
Yeah, he has got some flowing locks.
He definitely looks a lot better than what the cartoon portrays him as with that stupid bowl. Yeah, I mean, come on.
So He-Man and Beast Man square off, and then poor Red Man still slams into the head first over and over.
I love how he's like, every single time, no matter what, his arms have got to be completely down by his side.
It's like he's planking. You know, just slamming his head into it. So
it's like, man, you're going to completely like hit that and fall flat on your face, dude. Put your arms out.
So He-Man quickly dispatches Beast Man. He goes after Skeletor. They have the classic hero villain standoff. They start fighting. Beast Man awakens, takes He-Man, you know, tackles him from behind, cheap shot. And then, of course, Skeletor shoots a magic mystic bolt, and he's about to cut his head off or whatever. And Ram Man is free because he's taking his, you know, focus off Ram Man. And it says, now Ram Man is free, and he's angry. So I won't let you hurt He-Man. And he just slams into Skeletor's spine.
Yeah, he did.
He is bending in an ungodly angle. Just, my back.
My neck and my back.
So Skeletor realizes he's beaten and he disappears. He says, you've beat me once again, He-Man, but there's always next time. Poof. So Ram Man and He-Man decide they figure out that they are their, you know, Ram Man figures out Skeletor is the actual villain, and they decide to reconcile. He-Man says, and what is more, although we may have lost our enemies, we have each gained a new friend.
Oh.
And they shake hands.
Wow. Okay. Moral of the story.
Okay. Don't slam your head into things repeatedly.
Concussions are bad. Okay. Hence why this guy talks like he is very...
He meant bad. I make him pay.
It's Rocky Balboa with a helmet on. And
that's why he's wearing the metal helmet.
Because
apparently somewhere along he goes, me her head slamming into a rock. Me wear a metal helmet.
Finally, I figured it out. I put on a helmet.
And then He-Man literally just killing that beast and leaving it there for the villagers.
What are they going to do? Like,
That's food for a week, man. One of those arms can feed a village for like a night.
So he's like, all right, I killed it. And he just jumps on his like his battle.
He's waving there. By.
Deuces, guys, clean up your own mess. And they're like, but He-Man, we're not strong enough to lift this. Yeah, it's your own problem. I got rid of it. Later.
Duty calls.
Duty calls. All right, good one, good one, good one. I like that one. So there's Ram Man. Now, Justin Thomas, sir, you're up next here. And let's go ahead and just get right to it. As soon as I find the bookmark, there it is. We're going to be talking The Menace of Trapjaw. Now, let me just go ahead before you get into it. Trapjaw, I think, is one of my favorite He-Man figures.
Oh, he was awesome.
I mean, I had him, if I remember correctly. He was like a green. Was he green?
Green
or blue?
Blue.
Blue.
With a green face.
Green face.
Oh, that's right. Green face, blue body. Yeah.
Okay. And then he had the trap, you know, obviously the big mechanical jaw that went up and down. And did his arms have, or did his hand have like,
accessories
that you could?
Yeah, he had multiple hands.
Okay. All right. And this is, dude, I'm reaching back. Last night I reached back 30 years for Never Ending Story. I'm doing the exact same thing here because a lot of this stuff I don't remember without getting confirmation from you guys. So, Justin Thomas, let's talk about The Menace of Trapjaw, copyright 1982.
Trapjaw actually being my favorite of the villains as far as Skeletor's crew goes.
Mm-hmm.
Just like usual, you have Skeletor trying to get into Castle Grayskull.
I mean, is this guy ever going to stop?
No.
Never.
That's where all the secrets were, man.
Never.
It says, for the 100th time, Skeletor fails. The 100th time.
Oh, Skeletor. Man.
Makes you wonder if He-Man was all there for those 100th times, you know?
Oh, yeah. No
At
kid.
Some point, he was like, you know what? Just let him go. He's not going to get in anyway.
So anyways, you have Skeletor here, and he gets a brainstorm. Ooh. He says, well, I can't get into Grayskull this way, so maybe perhaps I open up a door to another dimension, take a few steps, and then open up another door. Maybe I can end up inside Castle Grayskull.
Oh, that's pretty slick. Now he's starting to think.
he actually opens up a portal to another dimension, gets his other portal opened up, getting ready to hop in it. Next thing you know is here comes Trapjaw with a lot of guys chasing after him. Here he's a criminal.
Oh,
and I suppose it's the his captors, I suppose, of this dimension, right?
Okay. Yes.
And he ends up knocking Skeletor back through the original portal, which is outside Castle Grayskull. And then he's fighting his captors. He ends up falling into the other portal that Skeletor created to end up inside Castle Grayskull.
Oh man, this is a good story. I'm liking this.
So we have Trapjaw actually is from a different dimension in this storyline, instead of from Eternia.
Okay.
Right up your alley, Jesse.
I know, dude.
We have all these shockwaves going on, and the king's wanting to know what's going on, so he decides to send He-Man and the Masters to go check it out. And of course, they get there, and there's Skeletor, who automatically gets blamed for it.
I think I would blame him, too, most likely. This guy's always up to no good.
I mean, as soon as I get there, there's Skeletor. It must be him.
Gotta be
him. You.
Right out in front of the gate of Castle Grayskull, what do you know? I mean, I think that's what he does every Sunday. He's like, all right, gotta go try and get in the castle.
So anyways, turns out Skeletor isn't the one behind him, but yet it's Trapjaw who actually was inside Grayskull and took the powers.
So he's got the power of the power sword right now.
He has he has the powers of Grayskull.
Oh, the powers of Grayskull. Okay, gotcha.
From the castle.
Well, okay, hold on. Explain what the difference is. Wasn't there supposed to be like a sword inside that Skeletor was trying to get?
He was just after the powers inside.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so.
At this point. But before, when, you know, Ronnie's story, he was after the sword.
Okay.
And then with this, we're actually getting to the point where Skeletor is just wanting the power within the castle.
Gotcha. So he's got to try and get in there. And here, Trapjaw's got it, which, do they ever explain, like, how you get the power of Grayskull? Do you just go grab something, or?
You stand there.
You're inside, buddy. You're the winner. Okay, go ahead, continue.
Justin. I mean, seriously, with how many times a Skeletor has tried to get in there, that's all you better have to do is just step in.
Yeah, really.
All right, but, Trapjaw's got the power.
And he's just taking out everybody like no problem at all. He takes out Man-at-Arms, takes out Teela, and then now we have He-Man confronting him. Of course, you know, you think He-Man punches him one time, you think, oh, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Wrong. So since He-Man fails, then we have Skeletor, of course, trying to take him out because he wants the power himself. So Skeletor tries taking him out. He turns his magic back against him.
Oh, man.
They find out that they can't defeat him alone. So this is the first time in the comics you will see He-Man and Skeletor actually creating the power sword together.
Man.
And actually defeating Trapjaw by cutting off his power supply.
That had to have been the most awkward way to try and strike somebody with, okay, you got one guy with one hand on the sword and the other guy with the hand on the bottom, and they both got to go and try and strike this dude.
It looks like the hand is on the hand. I mean, let's be honest.
Okay, yeah, they probably interlaced fingers and everything.
I mean,
you gotta hold it somehow.
Yeah, you gotta keep hold because you're not going to just let Skeletor just have it.
Yeah, there's no way.
I mean, you're not going to just let He-Man have it. So they gotta, you know, they trust each other enough to do the power together to cooperate with, but yet they don't trust each other to hold it themselves. What it is.
Mm-hmm.
So Trapjaw's defeated. They cut off his power supply, and he's defeated. And Skeletor this time decides, whoa, the drawbridge is open, so I'm just going to take my chance.
I'm just going to mosey on in, guys.
Denied.
What a tease.
Denied. So Skeletor, in his frustration and his anger, decides, well, since I can't get the power of Grayskull, I might as well just take at the time he called him a blunderer. Mm-hmm. With me as a new servant to add with, you know, Beastman.
Now, that plan worked to get inside the castle. It's just that Skeletor was not able to see it through fruition.
Captain Jaw screwed it up.
Trapped. So, I mean, he's got his way. He could do that again next Sunday. He'd be right in there.
In the beginning, he says that this magic doesn't really work.
It only works once.
Oh, yeah. Really?
He says it doesn't work like this all the time.
Wow. Okay. Nice.
He says that in the beginning.
Okay.
And you got He-Man with his flowing golden locks again.
Yes. Yes, he does. And it's looking a little more, I don't want to use the word feminine, but I'm going to have to go ahead and use it. Short and bowl cutting. What kind of a haircut is that?
Oh, come on, man. Mom's had that haircut back in the day. I think they started to draw Tila, and they're like, no, wait, let's put that He-Man there.
Hey, they did have Tila's hair red, though. We'll say that. So,
Strawberry blonde this time around.
That was a good story, though. I mean, yeah, I liked how you know the villain from a totally different dimension is now over in Eternia. Now they're not. Well, I don't know. I mean, if we count this as canon or whatever, I have no idea how that works. But you know, that's a really cool way of bringing somebody in that has no idea what's going on. Plus. The hero and the villain have to come together in order to defeat this one guy. Now, I don't know if that happens a lot more throughout the comics, but as for a Trapjaw story, I tend to give this one a thumbs up. Very good.
Explains his technology, too. I mean, it makes more sense.
Yes, compared to what the rest of the people use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And so ends part two of our look at He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. There's still two more parts to come, so tune in next Monday right here on the Rattlechin Broadcasting Network for part three as we look at two more mini-comics that I got to cover featuring Stinkor and Hordak's Slime Pit. Don't forget, you can follow me at Stiznarkey on Twitter and the show at SourceMatCast. So until then, faithful listeners, have the power!